You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to another edition of NFL Reacts. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride. NFL Reacts is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. No Kate again this week, so it's just me and Justice Mosqueda of Acme Packing Co. trying to help you get that fantasy championship ring on Sunday. And the NFL saw a huge wave of players return from the COVID list this week after updates to the protocols, and it's sure to have a high impact on your fantasy lineups. I do want to let you guys know, again, we are recording this on Thursday instead of Friday like we normally do. Is Friday's New Year's Eve, and want everybody to get their lineup set early. That way you can go have some drinks and enjoy the new year. With no Thursday game, we are just going to get right into it, Justice. And I want to start with this game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. This should be a fun game, right? Like, we've talked about this Bengals team a lot and their ups and downs. And Kansas City has really put everything together where they're playing like a complete football team now. But the Bengals' offensive weapons are still going to be hard to move off of in this game because of the upside that they bring in your fantasy lineup. So I think this game isn't going to be quite as high scoring as it might seem on paper. Like, it looks like it could be a shootout, but I kind of feel like the Chiefs are in a tier above the Bengals right now. The Bengals are just coming off of that huge performance against the Baltimore Ravens. So I'm a little bit worried about Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and all of those guys headed into this one.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily a coverage thing. It's that pass rush versus that offensive line, right? This definitely seems like probably game of the week. I don't understand why this is a morning game on Sunday. They're playing at, you know, 10 o'clock Pacific time, and like the Saints are hosting a game against the Carolina Panthers in that like afternoon slate. So like, I understand like every good game can't be flexed to Sunday Night Football, but why is this in the morning slate? I get it's in Cincinnati, but
it's like, fine with me. We already had a Chiefs game get flexed against the Broncos a couple of weeks ago. Sunday night games are not as much fun for me to work. So I'm fine with this being a noon game in Kansas City.
The other thing about the schedule this week is they're like, no Thursday games. That would be weird, you know, go before the last week of the season where everyone just plays on Sunday. But then there's a Monday night football game. It's like, all right, okay. I don't get it. Just put football on. This is not a big deal. Everyone doesn't want to watch these like college games. We're watching right now there's the Duke's Mayo Bowl where someone's going to get doused. The winning head coach is going to get doused in mayonnaise that's watered down. Like, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Gross.
Just wait until one of these like drone companies does something with the winning head coach. You're like, oh no,
yeah,
Dabo, no.
Just drop a vat of mayo from like 100 feet above the football field.
Not great, not great. But yeah, I mean, this game should be very fun. I assume there's going to be high scoring. You know, some people might be afraid in this matchup. To me, again, because the Chiefs aren't like a coverage heavy team in terms of like where their talent is defensively, I wouldn't necessarily worry about those guys producing numbers on the field. But I do think the Chiefs pass rush versus, you know, the Bengals offensive line, that's where the game is going to be won for Kansas City. And I could see this being, you know, a multiple score win for Kansas City, you know, in some circumstances because of that matchup. I just think like these guys are going to get their numbers offensively no matter what. You know, a couple sacks, that's not going to kill you in fantasy. Interceptions aren't weighted heavy enough in fantasy, frankly. So I think Burrow and Chase are probably going to be fine.
Yeah, like you still have to start your Bengals in this football game because I do still think there's going to be points had. It's just I totally agree with you. It's the Chiefs pass rush against this Bengals offensive line, which just isn't very good. And that's going to be the biggest difference maker in this game. Like we've seen the Chiefs offensive line really grow as the season's gone on. And I know the Bengals have some pass rushers, but their defense just isn't as talented top to bottom as the Chiefs defense. So start T. Higgins, start Ja'Marr Chase, start Joe Burrow. I do actually like Joe Mixon a lot. The Chiefs have been getting torched by opposing running backs. So if there is a particular player you can feel a little bit higher on, I think it's Mixon in this game, actually, not necessarily T. Higgins, who went absolutely nuts last week. But again, we talked about it on Wednesday. That was a practice squad lineup for the Baltimore Ravens. So you can't expect that Bengals offense to do this again. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs go, you know, Patrick Mahomes obviously going to be in your lineup. Travis Kelce is returning from the COVID list this week, so he will be active. And Tyreek Hill will be back coming off of a dud game, but it was a blowout win against the Pittsburgh Steelers where, you know, Tyreek Hill, even Patrick Mahomes said as much this week that Tyreek Hill was quite a bit winded on Sunday and he didn't practice all week. He was COVID positive, so he was dealing with COVID coming back from that. And it seemed to take a little bit of a toll on him. So we'll see how that affects Travis Kelce as well. But the fact that he's going to be able to return to practice this week and get some reps under him beforehand, I think you still start Tyreek Hill. You still start Travis Kelce. And the Chiefs are probably going to be without Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game. So I think Darrell Williams is going to be an absolute smash play because he's going to get all of the running back work. But I wouldn't go as far as to say like Derek Gore, but get Darrell into your lineup in this one. I do think you can play the Chiefs defense too, because I do think they're going to sack Joe Burrow a lot in this one.
I agree. They're gonna get some points. I mean, that offensive line, the Bengals fans aren't at like, did we make a mistake by taking Chase instead of Sewell? But there is some like, oh crap, this offensive line isn't what we kind of hope. Like they haven't taken the steps that the team kind of hoped that they would. You know?
Yeah, and like I mentioned the other day, if the Bengals this offseason go out and they invest heavy in their offensive line and try to fix that problem, like we're going to be talking about the Bengals headed into next season as like one of those like major sleeper AFC teams because of the way their offense has looked this season. But again, I think they're a year away from that. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are just in a different tier than the Cincinnati Bengals right now. The Indianapolis Colts might be without quarterback Carson Wentz this week. We'll see. After the NFL changed its COVID protocols from 10 days to 5 days per the CDC update and the way that they've updated the testing and stuff, Carson Wentz could still possibly be available this week. So we'll see how that plays out. It's a favorable matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, I don't think you should have been starting Carson Wentz in your fantasy championship anyways. But obviously in this game, Jonathan Taylor's got an opportunity to go absolutely nuts. The Colts are going to get guys back from the COVID list. They were really shorthanded last week against the Cardinals. And the Raiders' run defense is just not very good. So I think this game, really, it's Jonathan Taylor and I guess Hunter Renfro for the Raiders, and then I'm avoiding everybody else. The Raiders did place Darren Waller on the COVID list, so he might not be available this week, and he's been really banged up this season. So it's Jonathan Taylor and Hunter Renfro is about all I'm going near in this one.
And I think that's more than fair. I mean, these teams, the Colts, I don't think you can trust a pass catcher right now, especially with Wentz's whole situation. The quarterback from Texas is starting. That's never what you want to see at quarterback, right? We just got through that Monday night game where Ian Book looked terrible. I mean, it's going to be no different than that. And then on the Raiders side, I mean, they've really been in a funk ever since, you know, Gruden, you know, got kicked out the door. It is worth noting, like, they have a head coaching opening. And they're not interviewing anyone. And the interview window has already started. It started the 28th. We're recording this on the 30th. Jacksonville, I think, is doing interviews today, like as we speak, for their head coaching opening. And they've already named a list of 8 guys that they want to talk to. Raiders just like aren't doing it yet. So I don't know what their plan is, if they're just going to keep the special teams coach and they're just going to keep that going, or they hire, I guess, after the cycle. I don't understand why you would wait for, you know, Black Monday or whatever they call it, unless they're going after like Harbaugh. I mean, I'm trying to think of like what a Mark Davis type of move would be, and Harbaugh getting his start, you know, first coaching gig under Al Davis, and Mark Davis just being like, I can lure him back to the NFL when Harbaugh isn't on a huge contract because he took a cut from Michigan. I could see that happening, but outside of like the actual product on the field, like, I'm not that interested in the Raiders anymore this season. I understand they might make a playoff game. They're just not really a fun team. It seemed like the heart of that roster really got like ripped out midseason, and we're really feeling the effects of it now.
Yeah, as far as the coaching search goes, I feel like maybe it has something to do with the Raiders still being in playoff contention. Like, they're a long shot, but if they find a way to win these final two games, they could have a chance, just because the AFC is totally wide open still, and there's still six playoff spots up for grabs heading into week 17. So maybe it has something like that. Like, they're hoping their team can rally and somehow get into the playoffs, which would be commendable based on everything they've gone through this season. But I mean, we'd be talking about them surpassing a team like the Chargers. The Ravens are still right there. The Dolphins have won seven in a row. So they would need a lot of things to break their way. But as far as week 17 fantasy championship game goes, those are the two players that I think you should only be looking at in this one. And yeah, of course, if Sam Ehlinger plays, you obviously cannot go near.
Stay away. Stay away from everyone.
It's, you know, Michael Pittman, it is tempting, and I think Michael Pittman is a stud who's got all kinds of upside moving forward. I just do not like him this week, and it's a favorable matchup for the Colts run game, and we know they're going to feed Jonathan Taylor. So I'd avoid everybody else in that contest, but that does actually lead us to our first NFL Reacts poll of the day. Which AFC team on the bubble would be the most fun to watch in the postseason? Los Angeles Chargers, not surprisingly, leading the way 54% of the vote. The Baltimore Ravens coming in at number two with 13% of the vote. Oh, the Browns, sorry, at number two with 17%. That's kind of shocking. Then the Ravens at number three with 13%. The Broncos at number four with 4%. And the Pittsburgh Steelers at number five with 3%. I find it a little shocking that the Browns are ahead of the Ravens. You know, the Chargers, we talked about it a little bit already. I want the Chargers to get into the playoffs because I want to see Justin Herbert there. And then I would go to the Baltimore Ravens, because if Lamar Jackson is healthy and he's right and he returned to practice this week, like, I want to see Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. I don't really want to see Tua in the playoffs, unfortunately, for Dolphins fans.
No, and I think the bottom of that poll, like in terms of the rankings, our voters nailed it. I do disagree with the Browns being number two, though. I mean, I like watching edge rushers. It's my favorite position to watch outside of quarterback, just because quarterback influences so much. I've coached edge rushers before. It's my favorite position to evaluate when it comes to draft season. I love watching Myles Garrett. But outside of that, what's really the calling card for the Browns? I guess Chubb just running the ball in the winter, but the quarterback position, man, it's looking bad. And it's not like the Browns have a ton of super talented pass catchers. I mean, I know everyone wants kind of Donovan Peoples-Jones to kind of step up into that role, and Anthony Schwartz, when they can figure out those kind of, they're not really gadget plays, but those, like, you know, jet sweeps and stuff like that, like, that's fun. But I don't really think the Browns offense is fun. Like, the Chargers offense is fun. When Baltimore's healthy on offense, they're fun. I understand their defense is terrible, which might be fun to watch. I mean, the Chargers are in the same position. Like, it's just like automatic shootout if the Chargers or Ravens are in a game.
Yeah, when it comes to wild card matchups and stuff like that, like, I am just rooting for fun teams to watch. And as much as it hurts
points,
me to say,
overs, yeah, totals.
I was really high on the Cleveland Browns coming into the season. And, you know, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, trading Odell Beckham, whatever. But they're just not a fun team to watch. Like, they're offensively, they're not explosive. They don't have consistent pass catchers. So I don't really know what the NFL Reacts community is doing there with the Cleveland Browns. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a tasty Week 17 matchup against the New York Jets. Tom Brady's had back-to-back poor fantasy performances, but week 17 matchup against one of the worst teams in football. And Mike Evans still dealing with the hamstring injury. He was also added to the COVID list this week, so I would have to assume Mike Evans is not going to be available in this game. But we saw Antonio Brown step right back into this offense and lead the Buccaneers wide receivers in targets. He had 15 targets last week, even in another kind of down game for Brady. And the Bucs are just dealing with a lot of injuries right now. You know, Shaq Barrett also got injured last week, and he's probably going to be out until the playoffs start. They don't have Leonard Fournette, no Chris Godwin. But this is a Brady game. Like, Brady is going to carve up the Jets in this one. So if you got Tom Brady in your Week 17 Fantasy Championship, I think you deploy Brady and you don't even question it, because this has, like, that Brady monster four-touchdown performance written all over it against just a bad Jets team. And then Antonio Brown and Gronk and Ronald Jones are all going to be serviceable fantasy options for your lineup.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Todd Bowles against a rookie quarterback, he might have some stuff dialed up and just get him off of the field. And they might not have very many punts. It might be like that Packers-Browns game where the Browns punt one time, but they end up getting like four interceptions, and that's how the Packers end up winning. Like, I could totally see that being the situation for the Bucs. It's kind of amazing. I bet worst record in football, Jets, like probably a month and a half ago, plus 800. And I was like, man, this is a steal. Like, they very well might be the least talented team in football. And I ended up having to cash it out, because I was like, there's no way this is going to hit after the backup quarterbacks came in. When Wilson is in there, they're still a very bad football team. It's kind of amazing to me. You know, Houston, the Jets, the Giants, now with a backup quarterback with the Giants, like, the fact that none of these teams are bad enough, you know, in this slate to kind of get like a top two pick, because Jacksonville and Detroit had built up such a lead, and Detroit's probably a better product, you know, on the field than all three of those teams right now. It's tough to like tank in the NFL now when this Jets team is like a borderline, like top five pick team. You're like, holy crap. The bottom end of the NFL is very, very bad. And this line being double digits does not surprise me. I wouldn't touch it because it's just way too many points for me for an NFL game. But yeah, man. I mean, if this is within one score, it's going to feel like a moral victory for the New York Jets.
Yeah, it's got like league winning, championship winning game all over it. In my DraftKings lineups, I'm probably going to roll with a couple of Bucks stacks. Like, I don't trust Tyler Johnson, who has had multiple opportunities this season to step up and kind of show something in that offense. And he had zero targets last week. So Tyler Johnson's not really a guy that I would take a chance on, but Rashad Perriman is expected to return from the COVID list this week. So he'd be a guy, if you wanted a cheap option in the Bucs passing game, I think I'd look at Rashad Perriman as kind of like a deep dart throw sleeper, because I think the Bucs are just going to smash in this game. And you can't start anybody for the Jets. You might be tempted with Michael Carter, who returned to action last week, but Tampa Bay's run defense is still very good. So just avoid the Jets, load up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you just mentioned them, obviously one of the worst teams in football. And unfortunately, my guy James Robinson suffered a season-ending Achilles injury last week. It sucks for him as a player, like an undrafted player who kind of came out of nowhere and has been a difference maker when he's gotten a lot of touches and had a big role in that offense. So it's a bummer, and they're taking on the Patriots, who are looking to bounce back after back-to-back losses. So it's a terrible matchup, but Dare Ogunbowale is going to be available on a ton of waiver wires this week. I guarantee he's available in like 90% of leagues or something like that. And he's going to be their lead running back. He's also had a role in their passing offense. So I'd expect this game to be a blowout for the Patriots. So, you know, load up on Damian Harris. Ramondre Stevenson should be back from COVID. Like, I'm rolling those guys out in my lineup because I think they're going to run all over Jacksonville. But I think that Dare Ogunbowale is like a guy that if you're totally desperate, you need a last minute flyer. Like, I think he's a guy you could probably put into your lineup because he's going to have a three down role in all likelihood on Sunday. And the Patriots, like, if you can exploit one part of their defense, it's on the ground. So while he might not be the most talented option, you could plug and play. He's going to get volume and he's going to have an opportunity to score at least a touchdown or something.
That Robinson injury is such a bummer. I mean, if you want everything right around a rookie quarterback and you have two running backs, one that you might not even have needed to have drafted, you know, in, at the end of the first round, and two of them basically have what might be career, you know, changing type of injuries. I mean, they're very serious injuries to both Etienne and Robinson. It should also be noted, Divine Ozigbo, I think that's how you say his name. He was in camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars this summer, ended up getting released, picked up on the Patriots practice squad. The Jaguars tried to sign him off of the Patriots practice squad this week, and he said, no, I'm good. I'm good here. Geez, man. When a guy is turning down a check of that magnitude, and practice squad checks are now slated by the union, so, like, you can't even do the whole thing where you're, like, basically paying, like, a 53-man roster spot for a guy to stick on the practice squad anymore. He is legit turning down money to stick around with the Patriots, and you know, a lot of guys, especially who are on the bubble like that, like, they kind of need the check. Like, being on the NFL practice squad isn't what it's made out to be. So the fact that he's turning that down kind of, one, shows, like, the desperation of the Jaguars, where they're at in their running back room, and two, the fact that, like, people don't really want to go play for the Jags right now, especially with how their locker room is set up. We mentioned it on the Wednesday show, but yeah, man, like, all those clown avatars seem like they're making their rounds, and it seems like Jacksonville fans are taking it another step now. They're starting to buy clown noses, like, buy packs of like 200, and they're like, hey, meet me at lot 201, and I got the noses for like the entire lot. So if you see Jags fans at this game, they're probably going to be wearing clown noses. You know, end of the season game, it's going to be clown noses. They are not happy with the status of their team. And these are Jaguars fans who have no reason at all to root for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars have not given them anything in their lifetime outside of that one AFC championship game where Blake Bortles made it. And outside of that, man, like, they're just running off of, like, faith and fumes. So if they're pissed, like, you got to make a change. Balky's got to get out of there.
Yeah, it feels like Jacksonville is just trying to limp to the end of the season. Like, if the players could still get their game checks and just, like, forfeit these games, I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars would just do it. Like, let's just get out of here. We'll take two more losses and just wrap it up, because it's been a total disaster. So you might not want to start Dare Ogunbowale in your fantasy lineups, but if you're totally desperate, I understand it. And I think you can do worse than him this week. Miles Sanders is going to be out for the Philadelphia Eagles this week, which is a bummer. Miles Sanders still hasn't scored a touchdown on the season. Like, and we talked about how bad the Eagles' passing offense was early in the season, and they refused to run the ball, but they were super effective. Now they've become one of the best rushing offenses in the NFL, and Miles Sanders, when he's been healthy, has been putting up numbers and looked really good, but has just not found the end zone. And now he's out this week. The Eagles are still fighting for a playoff spot, and they've got a chance to get in against the Washington football team they just played a couple of weeks ago and kind of struggled against. But Washington's coming off that embarrassing performance against the Dallas Cowboys. I think that if Jordan Howard is somehow still available in your league, you got to go swoop him up right now, because Jordan Howard all of a sudden has, like, championship upside if he finds the end zone a couple of times in this game. So, I think he's going to do that. When Jordan Howard's been active, he's kind of been their red zone running back that they utilize. And Kenneth Gainwell's gotten some looks there. Boston Scott had a red zone touchdown last week. So I would expect Howard and Scott to be the guys who benefit most from Miles Sanders being out. But Jordan Howard is the guy that I would have put in a move on this week. And if he's available and you can go scoop him up, I'd put him in my lineup and start him without question.
Yeah, and this is really where you start seeing how motivated are teams at the end of the season, right? Philadelphia still very much has something to fight for. Washington, not so much. I mean, they're basically knocked out of the NFC race the way that it's shaken out now. Their defensive line is having fist fights on the sideline. Never like to see that. They just look like a mess. At the end of that Dallas game, when the backups for Dallas were able to just put up, you know, scoring drives on them, that's a very bad look. I mean, at the end of the day, that very much is like a motivation issue. It's going to be interesting because if the Eagles pop him in the mouth very early into this game, I mean, I could see it completely spinning out of hand again. Like, Washington's defense has been a mess all season in terms of like the secondary and really how the team is just built overall. What do you think about Ron Rivera long term? Because I'm not seeing it, man. Like, what are they building moving forward? I know a lot of people are like saying, oh, Taylor Heinicke is the guy starting at quarterback, so therefore you kind of got to throw out the year. Well, it's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy that like we're saying is going to vault this team into the playoffs based off of, you know, his talent alone. And the Snyder's stuff like isn't going to go away anytime soon, pretty obviously. So what are we to make of this when Ron Rivera is a defensive mind and his defense is blowing up and Jack Del Rio clearly is stuck in like 2004 in terms of like his coaching and his scheme? Like, it just, none of it feels right to me. It just feels like they're just going through the motions.
Well, and especially coming into this season, and I understand that that defense lost Chase Young, obviously that's a huge blow, but he was having kind of a down year compared to what he did as a rookie prior to his injury. And like, we were looking at that Washington front, like, that's going to be one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. And they just really didn't live up to expectation this season in any way. So, I mean, I don't think Ron Rivera is in danger of like getting fired or anything. If I'm Ron Rivera, I'd be a little bit more interested in just being like, can I just get out of here so I don't have to keep doing all these press conferences and answering questions about how awful my owner is. But I just don't really see where Washington goes from here. Like, whether it's Taylor Heinicke or Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever they get to be their quarterback next season, like, they're just not top to bottom a talented enough team where you have faith that they're going to be any better going into next season. And I think Ron Rivera is an okay head coach. I don't think he's like an elite head coach or anything like that. Like, I feel like this is kind of Ron Rivera's ceiling. Like, I know he went to a Super Bowl, but it's kind of like a middling average team. Like, that's what I expect from him as a head coach.
Yeah, and I just don't think that's enough, man. Like, the fact that this Washington organization's let guys like, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur walk through those doors, and they're just still a mess. And it seems like outside of one RG3 year, they've never really had it together at the quarterback position in my lifetime. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, how much want to is there here? Like, you're in the stadium that doesn't get a lot of fans in the building. You're going to have the number 9 pick in a bad quarterback class by, you know, anyone who's evaluating this class is saying that. It's just like, is this ever going to get better? It just kind of feels inevitable. It's just like, you're going to be bad, but you're not going to be bad enough where like actual changes are going to happen. It's just like this loop of like, yep, you're going to go like, I guess like 6-11 now, right? Like, oh, yeah. The worst.
Yeah, it's just total mediocrity. And that actually leads us to our next NFL Reacts poll. Which NFC team on the bubble would be the most fun to watch in the postseason? Our options are the Minnesota Vikings, Washington Football Team, New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons. Minnesota Vikings leading the way with 53% of the vote. The New Orleans Saints at number 2 with 18% of the vote. Washington Football Team at number 3 with 17%. And the Atlanta Falcons with just 12% of the votes. I kind of think it's shocking that the Saints are ahead of the Washington Football Team, I guess, or that they're number 2. Like, I totally agree the Vikings should be number 1 here because Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, like, you want to see those offensive stars in the postseason. But the New Orleans Saints just started Ian Book in an NFL game, and it was one of the most unwatchable games of the season. Like, I don't really want to see that in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, you have to tell me who the quarterback is starting that game. But I kind of do get the New Orleans defense and wanting to see that. I mean, they just have so much length up front. They're able to do so much in terms of beating guys up with power and with length. And their secondary isn't the best. But what they are able to do is capitalize on bad plays. Like, Lattimore's going to get got, but he's going to get his too. You know what I mean? It's a lot of that. Versus like Baltimore, where they just simply have nothing in the back end. So I understand wanting to watch that Saints defense, and I do think that they could catch some teams napping, right? I mean, you're talking about the two top teams in the NFC, probably from like a talent perspective when they're healthy. It's Green Bay and Tampa. New Orleans has beaten both of those teams this year. So their quarterback situation certainly is a issue, but depending on who would start those games, I understand getting them in over Washington.
Yeah, and it does sound like Taysom Hill is going to return for the Saints this week. So we'll see how that goes. He's still banged up, but he's coming off the COVID list, which is why Ian Book had to start that football game. So it might not be quite that bad for the New Orleans Saints offense this week. But let's take a quick timeout. When we get back, we got to talk about the San Francisco 49ers and whether or not Jimmy G's actually going to play in this game. If he doesn't go, Trey Lance has got some major upside against the Houston Texans. And we'll, of course, end the show with our pick three to get you set up in your DraftKings lineups. That's coming up next on NFL Reacts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Y'all better get ready to roll, man. So y'all put the kids to bed.
I'm betting one more.
Over. Under.
I'm betting on myself.
Across the board.
Welcome back into NFL Reacts. I'm Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride, joined as always by Justice Mosqueda of Acme Packing Co. The San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo seem to be having a bit of a spat this week. Jimmy G's banged up again, which seems to always be the case, but he's got a legitimate finger injury that could cost him some time. But now there's all kinds of weird reports about, you know, him and Shanahan not getting along, and he thinks that Jimmy G should play. And then it makes you wonder, like, well, wouldn't you be in favor of just putting Trey Lance in anyways? Like, you've been kind of playing the season out as if you're giving Jimmy G the respect of him being an NFL veteran and saying, like, this is his team this year, Trey's going to take over next season. But if you don't like what Jimmy G does on the football field, it makes all the sense in the world to just be like, all right, Jimmy's out this week, let's roll with Trey Lance. And it's a favorable matchup and kind of a must-win game for the 49ers, who are still trying to lock up a playoff spot. Like, I think that it's actually better for the 49ers if Trey Lance gets the start this week over Jimmy Garoppolo, because Trey Lance has got major, major upside with his rushing ability and the way that they'll utilize him, like, around the end zone. So if we get confirmation early enough that Trey Lance is going to be the starter in this football game and he's available, depending on your quarterback situation, I'd go scoop him up and put him in my lineup against the Texans.
from a fantasy perspective, I agree. The one X factor I will say is, you know, if this Houston team really is modeling itself out of the flesh of New England, right? New England has seen how you use a running quarterback and how you defend a running quarterback and some of the issues that it presents. And I'm sure, you know, we make fun of Lovie Smith for, you know, basically playing like three coverages, you know, in today's NFL, which is very hard. It's hard to win football games that way. The one benefit to that, if you're just playing cover three against Trey Lance, you're going to have to make him throw a lot of checkdowns. If he's not taking those whole shots and he's not confident in those whole shots and he hasn't been playing well in structure very often in the few reps that he's had. And the other thing too, is cover two is probably what you want to run if you're trying to defend the option, which is really what you're worried about with Trey Lance. So from a numbers perspective, just the way that like fantasy works, I think Trey Lance would be able to have a big game while at the same time, like, hurting his team a pretty significant amount, like in actual like football terms. I think Houston has like a real chance to kind of upset this San Francisco team and make everyone like think, oh wow, is Houston actually good, when it's really, you know, they played the Chargers, who can't stop the run, and then they played a rookie quarterback in like his first like actual start in the NFL.
Yeah, I do think if Trey Lance gets the nod, it could hurt those pass catchers a little bit, just because, you know, when he played earlier in this season, he did have some accuracy issues, and it felt like a little bit, there's a little bit of like trust issues with him really like kind of passing the football. But he had his moments, and, you know, I think you still have to play George Kittle. You still have to play Deebo Samuel, because they're absolute fantasy superstars. If Trey Lance is the starting quarterback, I'd be a little bit more cautious about plugging in a guy like Brandon Ayuk, just because of his limited role in the offense over the last couple of weeks. But if Trey Lance goes, I think you can put him in your fantasy lineup. Now, we're still waiting to see if Elijah Mitchell's going to be available in this game. If he is, he's an absolute must-start player. The Texans give up a ton of yards on the ground, so Elijah Mitchell will be able to produce for you. And if Trey Lance is the starter, we might see them just lean more into that rushing attack, and Jeff Wilson could be a guy who gets in the mix. If he steps in for Elijah Mitchell, I'm still playing Jeff Wilson as well. Rex Burkhead, you talked about that matchup against the Chargers. Rex Burkhead had a career game last week, going for 149 yards and two touchdowns against that defense. This is not nearly as favorable a matchup. The Niners' run defense has actually been pretty solid this season, so don't chase the Rex Burkhead points.
Lightning doesn't strike twice.
I mentioned it the other day. He had not rushed for over 41 yards in a single game prior to that performance. So it was a 1 week wonder. If you got Rex Burkhead in your lineup last week and he got you to your fantasy championships, hell yeah, that's awesome. You got away with one there. Don't chase those points again. Rex Burkhead does not belong in your lineup this week. And I still think you could put Brandon Cooks, assuming he's available. He's been on the COVID list, but it sounds like he's going to return to practice. I think that Brandon Cooks would be a guy that you could still plug and play into your lineup in a decent matchup against a banged up Niners secondary. Matthew Stafford is coming off a dud performance where the Los Angeles Rams still managed to win the football game. Cooper Kupp still managed to put up a solid fantasy outing, because he's just awesome, and he's Cooper Kupp, and he's been absolutely incredible this season. But Stafford was not good last week. Now he gets the Baltimore Ravens secondary, who just gave up 525 passing yards against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And the secondary is not in any better shape this week for the Baltimore Ravens. They might have Lamar Jackson back, but this is a smash spot for Matthew Stafford to bounce back after last week's down game. And I think it's a smash spot for those other wide receivers outside of Cooper Kupp. Like, the Baltimore Ravens secondary is just very, very pieced together, and I think every single one of their wide receivers can burn this secondary. So Cooper Kupp, obviously, in your lineup, and I'd take a chance on Odell or Van Jefferson this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a get-right game for the Rams to me. There's still a good chance that the Rams not only win the NFC West, but also get that 2 seed in the NFC, which would be a huge deal for them, you know, being able to host back-to-back games, the first two rounds of the playoffs. Stafford, That was weird because that was the first like off Stafford game where he had been like quote unquote healthy for since that first Cardinals game. I would say you're not usually getting those performances from him. And they're such a good team out of 11 personnel with Jefferson, with Cup, with OBJ. I don't think that that's a trend moving forward. And this just feels like bait. Like Baltimore is not going to be able to cover these guys at all. If McVay is worth any of the salt that we say that he's worth, he should be able to get, you know, 300 plus yards out of Stafford in this matchup.
And it is a tough matchup against the Ravens ground defense, I guess. Like they have been good against opposing rushers all season, but the Rams did place Daryl Henderson on IR this week, but they activated Cam Akers, who tore his Achilles in the preseason or early on in the offseason.
It's like, I didn't know that was allowed. Like you could recover that quickly. I didn't realize that was a possibility.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy that they activated him. Now that doesn't guarantee that he's actually going to get any game action or that he could be active, but you're certainly not going near him. I'm sure he's available in all your fantasy lineups, but this is the Sony Michel show now, and Sony Michel has produced over the last 3 weeks. He's been a fantastic fantasy asset. So even in a tough matchup against the Ravens run defense, if you got Sony, I think you get him into your lineup. And then, you know, maybe you just look at Cam Akers as like, if you're in a dynasty league or something like that, you're just hoping that if he gets any action, he's just going to look healthy because he should be their starting running back next season. He was supposed to be the stud coming into this year. As far as the Baltimore Ravens go, if Lamar Jackson goes, I think you can put him in your lineup just because they're going to have to score in this one. I just am at a point where I feel like it's hard to trust the Baltimore Ravens offense outside of Mark Andrews, who's been absolutely nuts, but he's really put those performances together without Lamar Jackson. Like he's been nuts over the last three games, but those were all the games where Lamar Jackson got hurt. And that was with Tyler Huntley and their third string quarterback last week. So Lamar's obviously going to target him. I'm just questionable about Lamar's running ability and the thing that really makes him a special fantasy asset in this one, because he's returning from a serious ankle injury, and if you watch any of the videos of him on the field at practice, like he still looks like he's moving kind of gingerly. So I think I'd proceed with some caution when it comes to Lamar Jackson this week.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, Huntley can do some stuff, but if Lamar isn't there, there's just a level of dynamic football that you can't replace. And if you're going against the Rams passing game, against this secondary, I think you need that kind of like dynamic playmaking. I don't think that they're going to get into the same position that, like, you know, the Green Bay Packers were in, where the Packers just couldn't stop Huntley at all. I think some adjustments have to be made with how he's made some of these starts. The other thing too, this week, the Bermuda grass. Did you see the practice clips? Yeah. Everyone's shocked at the grass that the Baltimore Ravens play on, and then people in the mentions are like, that's obviously Bermuda grass. It's like, oh, I've never heard of this in my life. I've never seen grass like that in my life. Is this normal? Is that in your part of the country? I'm from the Northwest, where it just rains, so grass never looks like that ever. In your part of the country, does grass look like that, where it's like inverted colors?
I just thought it was dead grass. Like I was just like, oh, somebody's sleeping on their lawn maintenance.
Well,
like,
big, if you tweet that out, big Bermuda glass will be, or grass will be in your mentions telling you, hey, no, that's a normal thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a normal thing for me here in Kansas City. So I've never seen that before. I don't know how we're just finding out that that's what they practice on for the Baltimore Ravens.
It isn't aesthetically pleasing, to be fair. It doesn't look nice, but I guess it works in Baltimore.
Yeah, it looks like dead grass, but apparently it works for them. The Tennessee Titans have a matchup against the red-hot Miami Dolphins this week, and the Titans have a chance to, if they lose to the Dolphins, then the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They can secure the number one overall seed in the AFC playoffs, but the Titans seem to keep finding ways to win games. Like, as inexplicable as it is, their offense has totally fallen apart, but they did get AJ Brown last week. And, you know, Julio Jones has been a huge disappointment this season for them. And it's a tough matchup against a Miami Dolphins defense that has been playing really, really well over their 7-game win streak. I don't think you can go anywhere near Ryan Tannehill or the Tennessee Titans backfield. We thought Deontay Foreman was kind of taking that lead role. And then last week they reverted to a total three running back committee. So you can't bank on any one of those guys getting enough volume to produce for you this week in your championship week. But if you made it to week 17 in your fantasy football league with AJ Brown, likely on IR, and you had a chance to plug and play him for a huge performance last week, then you put him in your lineup again because there's just not that many elite wide receivers that you can bank on. And AJ Brown is that kind of stud, in my opinion. Like, it's a reasonably tough matchup. He's probably going to see a lot of like Xavien Howard, who is a very good NFL cornerback, but AJ Brown's a monster. So I'm still putting him in my lineup this week.
I 100% agree. I think AJ Brown is going to get his. I don't know if the Titans win that game last week, if not for AJ Brown. So him moving forward, I think, could be the difference maker between breaking this Miami Dolphins streak that they have going. I still am not impressed. We listed off the names of the teams that they have beaten over this like six or seven game win streak on the Wednesday show. Their best win of the season is still week one against the Patriots, and you're getting rookie Mac Jones in that matchup. So I don't even know how much you hang your hat on that. Tennessee, at the end of the day, is a team that is contending for that one seed in the AFC. If Miami beats them, this would be their biggest win of the season, point blank, period. And somehow the Titans are only 3.5-point favorites, and it doesn't even make into one of my three best bets of the week. I'll say that. I think there's some value on some of these lines league-wide.
Yeah, and as far as the Miami Dolphins side goes, it is a favorable matchup for Tua Tagovailoa, who's been a serviceable fantasy quarterback in recent weeks, but he's a guy I would take a chance on in like my daily lineups, not like my season long fantasy championship. Like, you just don't, Tua doesn't have a high enough ceiling for me to be like, well, I can throw him into my lineup this week of all weeks. But our guy Duke Johnson, who we talked about last week, did wind up leading the Dolphins backfield in carries again, but they did kind of use a three running back rotation. Johnson got the most carries, but none of them were really super effective last week. And the Titans run defense has been pretty good this season, so I think I'm just avoiding that backfield. But you got to get Jaylen Waddle into your lineup. Jaylen Waddle has made an ascension here, you know, down the back half of the season to a legitimate fantasy superstar. He's got superstar wide receiver potential just in real life moving forward. Like, he looks like an absolute stud, and he's got at least 9 targets in 3 consecutive games. So it's hard to find that type of bankable volume, and the Titans secondary is not good. So Jaylen Waddle absolutely has to be in your lineup. Devontae Parker was a guy that, you know, we were looking at, like, he had put up some big performances with Tua under center this season, and then he got absolutely goose-egged against the Saints. So it's a favorable matchup against the Titans, but Parker's nothing more than a dart throw. I'd avoid him in my season-long lineups.
The big Waddle thing to watch is he might break the rookie reception record in this game, which is kind of amazing. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't watching these Miami Dolphins games just because they had risen from an ascension that was very low, and they've been playing against teams that frankly aren't very good. So if you're not watching them on Red Zone, you know, they're probably not on your television on Sundays. But Jaylen Waddle certainly been fed the football, and I think it's a smart idea. I mean, when you trade up for a guy the way that they did, you got to feed the guy. I mean, he might not be used in the way that you want. He probably should be used more as a vertical threat than he has been, right, you know, this season. But with Tua, I mean, what are you really going to do? So the fact that, you know, you're seeing them manufacture touches for him so much, is probably a good sign moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely smash spot. He's got another opportunity to really produce for your lineup. So Jaylen Waddle, fantasy stud, get him into your lineup this week. I want to talk about the Denver Broncos offense really quick. And it looks like Drew Locke is going to be the starter again this week. Head coach Vic Fangio did not confirm it necessarily, but he said they're going to take it slow with Teddy and make sure he's okay, because he did have like a very serious looking concussion when he left that game a couple of weeks ago. So Drew Locke is going to get the nod in all likelihood this weekend, and it's a must-win game for the Los Angeles Chargers as they're looking to try to clinch a playoff spot. Right now they're on the outside looking in. And somehow Drew Locke made the Broncos offense even worse last week than it had been with Teddy, because at least with Teddy, like, you know, the pass catchers, as talented as they are, they just were not producing. Teddy cannot get them the ball at a high enough level to where they're fantasy assets for your lineups. But Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams had been fantasy assets, so where you could plug and play both those guys, and they were producing. They were both getting enough touches in that rushing attack that they could put up numbers. And then last week, it was just bad. The entire offense could not accomplish anything. I know Javonte Williams wound up finding the end zone, but neither running back was able to get much going on the ground. And part of that is that opposing defenses don't have any respect for Drew Lock. So they just said, we're going to shut down your rushing attack. We know Drew Lock can't get your wide receivers the ball, and we're not going to worry about it. Also, they get the Chargers this week, who just gave up 149 rushing yards to Rex Burkhead. So I would have to imagine the Chargers are going to have a harder time shutting down their run game this week. So Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon smash spots. But I don't trust anybody in this passing attack. I don't see how you can. It's just every single one of them, guys that we had high hopes for coming into the season, and Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and Noah Fant, they've all been letdowns this year. So I don't think you can put any of those guys into your lineup this week.
Every time Drew Lock drops back to pass in the first half of that game is malpractice on the coaching staff, right? Like, just not a good idea, at least if it's not like third and six plus. Somehow, I'm looking on 538 right now, and I don't understand how their like ELO math necessarily works at the quarterback position. I don't know what necessarily goes into it, but they actually have Drew Lock as a 2-point upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater somehow, which doesn't make sense to me at all. I mean, was there any point where you're watching these games this season and saying like, yeah, Drew Lock is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater? Because that thought had never crossed my mind. Teddy is somewhat of a boring quarterback. He's the steady Eddie type. He's going to take a ton of checkdowns, but like, if you're trying to win football games, especially with the pass catchers that they have, like, he's a better quarterback than Drew Lock for sure. Drew Lock is going to risk it all on any given play.
Yeah. It's just, does Drew Lock have like a little bit more, you know, 70 yard touchdown upside? Sure, because he's going to take those chances.
He also has a lot more like, I threw a pick from our 11 yard line and now you're in field goal range already too.
Yeah, exactly. And in a must win game for the Los Angeles Chargers, who had the huge upset loss to the Houston Texans last week, they're going to get players back from the COVID list this week in all likelihood. It sounds like Austin Ekeler is, you know, on a trajectory to return for the lineup. So, you know, Justin Jackson, who was a fantasy savior for a lot of you last week, it's probably going to be the Austin Ekeler show again for the Chargers as far as that backfield goes. But the Broncos run defense has been pretty good this season, but I still think you can put Austin Ekeler into your lineup, obviously. And I'm deploying Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. But other than that, I'm avoiding the Chargers because Mike Williams has just been so inconsistent this season. Started off looking like he was going to be a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy football and has just done nothing but nosedive since then.
It's not good. It's a bad sign. This league, there's too many games, right? A lot of these matchups, it just doesn't seem like, do we need to be playing these games, you know, in late December, early January? It doesn't really make sense. It feels like we should have knocked these games down to like 15 instead of going up to 17.
Yeah, and we've got one more week. We've got one more game that it feels like a lot of teams across the league just don't even want to play. So, you know, get those guys in your lineup this week. Try to go win it all. Get that ring. Do what you got to do. But we do this each and every week to end the show. We try to help you get set up on the DraftKings Sportsbook, some key players that we think you need to get into your lineup to try to get the most out of it. And then Justice will give you his three favorite bets of the week. It's pick three.
Pick me!
One, two, three.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Pick three is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, I will give you one quarterback, one wide receiver, and one running back that I think you can build your daily lineups out and try to get the most value out of them. Try to get you some money in some of these cash lineups. Then Justice will give you his three favorite bets of the week. My quarterback feels a little bit risky this week based on his performance this season, but I'm taking a chance on Russell Wilson. It's the Seahawks offense really has been a big letdown all throughout the year, but it's a good matchup against the Detroit Lions. Opposing quarterbacks aren't putting up huge numbers against the Lions. Some of that has to do with, you know, getting out to early leads. The Lions aren't particularly good at stopping opposing rushers, and so that's helped quite a bit as well. But I don't trust this Seahawks rushing attack. I know Rashad Penny had a decent game last week, but I think this is going to be a big spot for Russell Wilson. He's only 6,200 on DraftKings, so I think there's going to be an opportunity for Russ to bounce back a little bit. So I'm going to take a chance on him in my DraftKings lineups this week. My pick three running back is going to be Chiefs running back Darrell Williams. He comes in at $5,800 this week. With Clyde Edwards-Helaire likely out, Darrell comes as a cost-effective running back with plenty of upside in this matchup. I think we're going to see plenty of points. Darrell started five games earlier this season for the Chiefs, and he had at least 19 touches in four of those games. That's bankable volume that I am willing to get into my lineup. I think Darrell's had a huge role in the pass-catching game over the last several weeks, so that should continue, and he's going to get some more looks in the rushing game with Clyde out. So I think Darrell is in a very good spot to produce against the Cincinnati Bengals. And my pick three wide receiver, I already talked about him. Jalen Waddle is an absolute stud. He's $6,700 this week, which is a little bit of a price increase, but you know that's inevitable when he continues to produce this way. He's been a total breakout fantasy player, and he's got at least nine catches in three straight games. That makes him one of the most reliable fantasy wide receivers over that stretch, and I think it's got a lot to do with the improved play of Tua. It does feel like Waddle's upside gets capped a little bit just because the Dolphins are not a vertical offense, so he doesn't get a ton of stuff deep down the field, but he gets consistent looks, consistent catches, consistent yardage, and he's starting to get red zone looks from Tua. Against a poor Titans secondary, I think Waddle's in line for another very nice fantasy performance. Justice, your top three bets of the week.
My first one kind of builds off of your running back, Darrell Williams. I really do think Kansas City just matches up very well with Cincinnati. I understand they were able to get a bunch of yards on, you know, Baltimore's backup pass rushers and backup cornerbacks, you know, this past week, and they were able to put up 500 yards. I don't think that's happening against Kansas City. I think Kansas City's pass rush matches up very well with Cincinnati's offensive line. Patrick Mahomes hasn't ever looked better, you know, this week compared to earlier in the season. So if he's back and it really gets into shootout mode, what's really going to take over is Kansas City's pass rush, not Cincinnati's offense, I would say. So I'm taking Kansas City -5. My next game, Los Angeles Rams -3.5 at Baltimore. This is kind of the flip side of that Cincinnati-Baltimore game from last week. I still don't think Baltimore is going to be able to cover anyone. We're kind of like, for lack of a better term, buying a dip on the Los Angeles Rams after they had not a great game, especially from Stafford's side this past week. At the end of the day, they have Van Jefferson who could score from any place in the field. They have Odell Beckham Jr. who could score from any place in the field. And they have Cooper Kupp who, you know, if he doesn't lead the league in receptions and yards, et cetera, by the end of the year, he's going to be really high up on those rankings. So I think Stafford is going to have a get right game here. Baltimore, we still don't know what their quarterback situation is even going to look like. And I think, you know, if Huntley's there and they're able to set the edge, you know, keep contained, that alone might be enough to be able to win that shootout. So I like the Rams a lot at 3.5. And then my last game, this one, I could feel it already. I'm going to be sweating it. It's going to be gross. Houston +12 at San Francisco. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing, and it does not sound like he's playing based off of, you know, how the reporting is coming out of how the rest between Shanahan's thoughts of if Jimmy can play and, you know, Jimmy's thoughts on if Jimmy can play. And at the end of the day, Jimmy has that decision. If Trey Lance is in there, the fact that Lovie Smith plays a very stagnant defense that is cover two based, that is going to force Trey Lance early and often to have to go to checkdowns that are kind of uncomfortable at the NFL level in structure. Plus, he's going to have the edges settled up with those cornerbacks playing the option pretty well. I think that bodes very well in a matchup to be able to stop Trey Lance, not necessarily in terms from like a fantasy perspective, but from like a gambling perspective. Houston also, it's not like, so if San Francisco does play Lance, do we think they're going to like blow this team out? I don't think so. I don't think their explosive power is going to be through the roof. I think they're going to manufacture a lot of touches for Deebo Samuel, certainly, especially if Elijah Mitchell can't go. But I wouldn't say like this is like the game that Ayuk goes for like 150 yards or Kittle goes for like 200 yards or something like that. I don't think that that's how this game is going to play out. So I think Houston, especially with the way that Mills has kind of looked like at least a halfway serviceable backup kind of caliber quarterback in recent weeks, as opposed to early in the season where he was just looking like he didn't belong in the NFL at all. I think this all bodes well for Houston.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I do think that is going to be a
it's closer. Gross. Yeah, I'm going to sweat it, but it's it might be a moneymaker, man.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be a closer game than we probably think it should be on paper. But that is our pick three brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. Before we get out of here, we do have to ask that you please subscribe, rate, and review everything that we're doing on the SB Nation NFL show. Remember, we're in the five-star business here, so please leave us a five-star rating and review. You can follow Justice on Twitter at JUMOSQ. I'm Steven Serta. That's where you can find me. Go win the rings. Go take home the pots. Go win some cash. It's Fantasy Championship Week 17. Let's do it. We'll talk to you guys next week, and we'll have probably a lot more like daily lineup plays and stuff like that. We'll talk to you soon.